Amen. Amen. Boy, what a day that will be when my Jesus, I shall see, to look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Amen. What a day. But until then, let's rehearse. Let's practice to get excited about the things of the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. Here in just a moment, we'll begin reading in verse 11. So you remember last week, when we talked about turbulence, and we were referring to a rough ride while flying, and we gave some definitions, and we know that it can be nerve-wracking and it can be terrifying. We talked about there was the type of light turbulence, and we know that turbulence is very unpredictable. It could be as significant as a few annoying bumps, or it could be very severe, or even to throw an airplane to and fro. We looked at light. We defined it. We looked at moderate turbulence, and that being when the change in altitude, but the aircraft remains in positive control. And sometimes we in life face some turbulence, and we feel like we're in control, when sometimes we probably should let loose and just let God. We talked about the severe turbulence, that large but abrupt changes in altitude. We talked about extreme turbulence, where aircraft is violently tossed about and practically impossible to control and may cause structural damage. Some of us have faced that kind of turbulence in our Christian walk. Things that we feel like would just destroy our family within, but God blessed and intervened because we did give it to Him. You see, every family will face experience times of turbulence in their life. I have seen family turbulence discourage Christians away from the things of the Lord. And other times I've seen families find real victories through and because of the turbulence they faced. Dear friends, you can decide to go ahead and fight it on your own, but I'm telling you, you're going to be miserable a whole lot longer than if you just let it over and give it to the Lord and allow Him to help you through whatever that you're going through. Sometimes, as we said, it's self-inflicted. Other times it's brought on by others. Again, sometimes the turbulence is in the marriage itself. Sometimes turbulence comes to our extended family, whether it be our children or grandchildren or other extended family. Like sheep gone astray, some believers are in severe turbulence through their own choices, bad choices, and like coins, some are lost by the carelessness of others. But here in Luke chapter 15, here we find him and the family, the son, being in extreme turbulence of his own willfulness. And because of his turbulence, the father had to wait or ride through the turbulence until the son's will was broken and submissive. Last week we talked about the cause of family turbulence. When we focus on self, when we reject family structure, and when we decide to descend. Today, let's look again at our story. We'll begin reading in verse 11 of the prodigal son, and we'll continue with our study and look at, first of all, the cure for family turbulence. Let's look at our text here in chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and they took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came unto himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no worthy to be called thy son. And he made as him one of his hired servants, and he arose and came to his father. But he was a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And he bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be married. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Father, bless the reading of thy word. And Father, once again, please help me. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Lord, help me us to put away the cares and concerns of the world today and things that may be ailing us or distracting us, Father, that we might tune solely in on the preaching and the teaching of thy word and what you have for us. And we'll be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for it all. For once again, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The cure for family turbulence, as we see here in verses 14 through 21, first of all, we read there is a recognition or to recognize sin. See, the cause of the turbulence, and we see there in verses 14 through 7, as he noticed that he didn't immediately repent, for there was remorse and there was misery. And dear friends, as we look at this passage of scripture, and we see in there in verse 14, he says that he had spent all. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Dear friends, money talks, but it usually says goodbye. If we're not careful and understanding, there is a cure, there is relief in any turbulence that we go through of life. I made a mistake this morning. I'll just tell on myself. My wife whispered over and said, sweetheart, do you want me to go around and get you some Tylenol real quick? And I said, no, it's okay. I'll make it through the service. Maybe I should have. There was a cure. There was a little relief. And even in our Christian walk in our life, dear friends, when we're facing turbulence, we might have to come to ourselves and evaluate what's going on around us and say, Lord, have I brought this on myself? Others have brought that in, included in our family. And then, Lord, how do we go forward from here? You see, there is a cure for family turbulence. There is a cure for church turbulence. There is a cure for even your own life. If you just live by yourself, you're going to face turbulence. He says, the Bible here says that phrase that he spent all. In other words, that expense and all that money that he had, he spent it all. He wasted it. He squandered it. He consumed all that he had. The Bible doesn't tell us how much he was given. But we know from a Jewish custom, he should have got at least a third of his father's wealth that he was leaving behind because he wasn't the oldest son. So he squandered all that money in this period of time. And the Bible says, and then he came to himself in verses 16 and 17. The Bible says he would fain, notice there, and he would fain and have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat and to no man gave unto him. And when he had come to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and perish, and yet I perish with hunger. I don't know if it's temporary Christian insanity, but he came to himself. And sometimes I wonder, are we in our right mind when we make the decisions that we make? How often do we make decisions without consoling or consulting with others or even talking to God about it? He brought this upon himself, and it was clearly there was a cure here. He spent all, and then he comes to himself. He said he would fain, in other words, to have a desire for, to long for, to desire, to lust after, to covet. Dear friends, he was starving. He realized that he was without, and then he began to think of his family and how good things were back home. All that he was missing, all that he thought that he wanted, he already had back home. But he felt that he had to leave. Dear friends, all that we have and all that we need is provided by our Heavenly Father. Sometimes we have a lot of want, but that doesn't mean it's need. Sometimes God is just so good, he gives us all of our needs and sometimes some of our wants as well. But often he withholds some things that we may not need. Dear friends, this poor man was willing and ready to eat the husk that pigs were eating. Think about this. This is a Jewish man. Think about this step and where he had come to in his life. Friend, sin never takes you up, but will always take you down. And here he was, feeding with the pigs. Again, a Jewish man who was given the most degrading job a Jew could ever have, to feed the unclean animals. He spent it all. He came to himself during this time of this process of the cure. And then verse 18, we see some repentance, the repentance of sin. He was turning around and realizing that sinner, if you're here today and you know the Lord, but you know you've gotten away. You know you're not living the way you should. You know you're not living as you have in times past. Do you need to come to yourself? Do you need to realize where you're at, what's going on in your life, and turn yourself back to the Lord? Maybe you're here today and you've never made that repentance toward God for salvation. What a time. Why put off till tomorrow what you could do today? But notice here what he says here in verse 18. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Bible tells us in Psalm 51 in verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil. In thy sight thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Dear friends, remorse is good, but not enough. He not just only felt sorry, realized where he was at. He actually came to the point to go beyond that, and he didn't cry and didn't shed those tears of woe is me. He repented. He realized and even said within himself, dear friends, remorse is not good enough. There must be true repentance or a real turning from sin and back to spiritual authority. And that's exactly what he did. A desire of his heart there in verse 18. He desired to be right with his father and he repented in his heart. It wasn't just lip service. Woe is me. But he realized his sin and the mistake that he made and he wanted to make it right. He had a desire of the heart. And then he had that verbal confession in verse number 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He says, I have sinned. Dear friends, we have an invitation on altar call each week to provide an opportunity to recognize or have that recognition of sin and repentance. And dear friends, it's not only a place of repentance, but it's a place of joy and a place of thanksgiving. The greatest place of joy and thanksgiving and sin was for me when I realized my sinful condition and needed to trust Christ. And then after that, coming to the altar in a time of prayer is not just a place for sinners. And by the way, we're all sinners saved by grace. But it's also a place of thanksgiving, a place of joy. Lord, thank you for the message. Lord, thank you that my heart is still tender. Lord, thank you that my mind is still focused on the things of the Word. Thank you for my church. Thank you for it. Go down the list, whether it's there in your seats or here at an altar. It's multiple use in a place to get things settled with the Lord or to keep things settled with the Lord. Yes, the cause of family turbulence, the cure of family turbulence. Recognize sin, repent of the sin, and then, number three, the calming effect that is available in turbulence. Yes, even though there's great turbulence, even though things are going all on around you, there still can be a calming effect when we make that decision to turn it over to the Lord. When we make that decision saying, Lord, I know it's here. And I know you have a purpose. And I'm going to ride through it, whether it's my fault, whether I brought it on myself, or someone else brought it in. I don't know, but I'm going to ride through this turbulence, knowing that you're going to see me safely through and do all we can to grow thereby. Look again in verse number 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a far way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, put upon him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Dear friends, biblical principles bring family unity in all levels of turbulence. Biblical principles will bring family unity in all levels of turbulence. It doesn't matter how bad that it gets. It's not so much concerned about the cause. When you realize what it is, allow the Lord in to help you through it. We've got too many believers today that run from it, try to get around or try to get over it instead of just trusting God. Lord, help me through this turbulence. Help me through this trial. Help me through this because I know that you are in complete control of what's going on. Lord, help me to enjoy the calming effect that can take place during this turbulence. You see, unity is a quality or state of not being multiple. It's oneness. Calm, a period or condition of freedom from storms, high winds, or rough activity that comes our way. I shared with you some time ago, and I won't go through the whole story again, when we got that phone call at 2 in the morning when our son was being medevaced back to Germany to the Air Force Hospital there in Landstuhl, Germany, because of injuries and being in his third IED. Now, when we got there, as I mentioned before, we were grateful that he was able to walk off the front and not carry it off the back. But here's the other story, another part of it. What took place after we answered the phone, and all that we knew was, he's alive, he's being medevaced. We got the girls up, but the first thing we did is we had a word of prayer. We commended this to the Lord, knowing we would just trust the Lord. We got our girls up, we loaded up the van, and we headed off, and we made that long drive across Slovakia into Germany, several hours, 12 hours. I can't remember how long it was. It was a long drive, but during all that turbulence and all things that was going through our minds, all that we could do was say, Lord, you're in complete control. This turbulence, this trial, this situation that's been brought upon our life is not of ourselves, Lord. I don't know what any mistakes our son may have made or what he did there, but we know this. You're in charge. You're in control. Lord, give us safety on the road. Thy will be done. It's hard. It's difficult. But dear friends, it's always better we're allowing the Lord to carry the load instead of trying to do it ourselves. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse number 37. The Bible says, and arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was not, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But friends, I can't explain it. But there's without a doubt that we made our way across Slovakia, Hungary, Romania. I can't remember all the route that we took into Germany. Though we had to be alert and on the road and watch around, there was a great peace as I knew that God had everything under control. The calming effect that is available in turbulence. No matter what's going on in our life, with our children, our grandchildren, no matter what's going on within our church family, extended family, though the turbulence may come and may go, and it will until Jesus comes, there will be a turbulence at times. But the bottom line is, we need to remember, forgiveness is available. This is part of the calming effect in turbulence, that forgiveness is available. He says in verse 22, and the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Notice there, maybe some of you today haven't caused a turbulence, but you must be part of the solution. Though we may not have caused it, we must be part of the solution. You see, the Father's action is a beautiful picture of the attitude of our Heavenly Father towards sinners who repent. He is rich in His mercy. He is rich in His grace. He is rich in His greatness and His love toward them. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 31 through 32. It says, let all, not just what you feel like, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do we forgive the way the Lord forgives? That forgiveness is available. And if we're going to be part of the solution, that means sometimes we need to not only give forgiveness, but we also need to receive the ask and the request for forgiveness. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 tells us, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, such a one is a spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Dear friends, no man of God, no young lady of God, as I've mentioned before, wake up and makes the decision, I'm going to ruin my life today and fall into sin. It's a progress of time. But the bottom line is when they come to themselves and they realize what's going on, the turbulence that they had caused, and this young son realized what he had done as he came to himself and he made the agreement, the decision already, I'm going back with hat in hand, I'm asking for forgiveness. I said give, 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 but today I make a decision to say, Dad, what do you want me to do? I will serve as a hired servant. Dear friends, I have seen at times when a prodigal comes home and is not received. That should never be the case. How sad when Christians can't forgive the way that they have been forgiven. See, there should be joy in the camp when a sinner comes home. Reconciliation should be something that is part of a church. And one of the hardest things a church ever has to do is go through or practice church discipline. But when it takes place and when it happens and is responded correctly, we give the forgiveness that is asked and we go forward through that reconciliation. That bond is so much even stronger as we go forward with the Lord. Let me ask again this morning, do we forgive the way that we have been forgiven? Two little boys were good friends and neighbors and had gotten to a big fuss in a big fight. Came home that night and told their parents, I will never play with him again. I just can't stand him. You won't believe what he has done to me. Mom and dad just listened and tried to encourage the boys separately in different homes. And they went to bed that night and they got up the next morning. Got up and around, had his breakfast, was singing a little tune. Got all dressed and ready. Said, I'm going to the park. I'm going to go meet my friend. We're going to play. And mom and dad laughingly asked him, what do you mean? I thought yesterday was it. I thought that friendship was over. And the little boy just smiled and said, we are good forgetters. Are we able to forget and let go? You see, one thing we have to remember, forgiving is not forgetting. But it's remembering that you forgave. And if we can't forget, just say, Lord, help me to remember, to remind myself that I have forgiven, that I might move forward. Dear friends, are you a good forgetter? Are you willing to forgive in the same way that you have been forgiven? Not only do we see this forgiveness that is available in reference to the cure, but we see a fellowship that is available. In verse 22 of our part of our text, once again, we see where the father said to his servants, bring forth the best. Everything the younger son had hoped to find in the far country, he discovered it back home that he had left from. The clothes, the jewelry, the friends, the joyful celebration, the love, the assurance for the future. What made the difference? Instead of saying, here's what I think made the difference. Instead of saying like he did in verse 12, remember verse 12? And the younger of them said to his father, give me, give me. Instead, he said, Father, make me, in verse number 19. He was willing to be a hired servant. And he had all that he needed, all that he ever thought it needed, but some reason he thought the grass was greener on the other side. He thought much things were better out there, away from the rules, away from the guidelines, away from the things of God, and he left. But when he came to himself, he realized that the whole time, his heart, that wickedness is of the give me, should have been make me. Dear friend, let me ask you today, are we more about Lord give me or Lord make me? A vessel and thy hands worthy of use for the ministry. Lord, make me whom I need to be. Lord, make me what you desire for me to be. See, so many Christians in this woke society that we live in today are demanding their rights, demanding their liberties, but they will never be happy until they yield to the Father's will. Never be happy until they feel to the Father's will. Dear friends, I don't know about you. My life is not perfect by any means. I've got my faults. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. I'll give her permission to tell you. I don't know what I'd do without her. By the way, she found my keys I asked you to pray for last week. You know, hey, what would I do without her? I guess I'd be walking. But you know, sometimes we just don't realize how good that we have it and what God has provided in our personal life, in our private life, and in our public life. Friends, before family unity could be restored, the prodigal had to repent toward the Lord first, and then toward his family. If you're here today and You know that you're saved. You have no question, no reservation. Let me ask, are you not only right with God? Are you right with your family? Are you right with your church family? Are you right with your employer? Are you right with your community? If it seems, if we can't be right here, you can't tell me that you're right this way. Because God wants you to be right here. How can we be effective witness? How can we point other people to the Savior if we can't even get along with one another, much left with our neighbors who's lost and on their way to hell? Or other people that we work with or that are around. We must be right with Him that we can be right with those that are around us. Have you repented toward the Lord this morning for salvation? If you're here today, you've never trusted Christ. You don't know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. That first step in that first phase of repentance for you is toward your forgiveness of sins, toward Christ, that you might have eternal life. But I'm concerned as well. I want no one to go to hell. But also, as a believer and as your pastor and as a shepherd, I don't want any of us to have to ever stand before the Lord and not be right with Him before we meet Him. I want to make sure that accounts are settled, whether it be against us, one another, or against others, against family, or against God Himself. If you're today and you're not saved, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are we willing to repent of our sins, acknowledge those, and look to Christ for salvation? But then as a believer, we're not to look at that as fire insurance. We're to look at that as that's my starting point. And from there, I will follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I will get involved in the local church. I will serve the Lord together with my family, with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I will do all I can to serve Him until He calls me home. In verse 22, we see that beautiful picture of the robe representing righteousness. The ring can represent the sonship. And dear friends, for those of us, if you read this text, this is for the restoration of the righteousness and the sonship and those shoes, provision. Boy, isn't it wonderful to know that we have a God who provides that which we need? Sometimes it gives us a little more than we need. Especially when we tend to receive the blessings and then want to share it with others. See, the flow stops to here to there when that goes from here to here. And it's not just finances. It could be in health. It can be in other areas of ministry and service and how we treat others. We're to give it back and return it saying, Lord, how can I use it that I might be more effective in ministering to others? You see, our loving Heavenly Father has provided righteousness and sonship through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, the cause of family turbulence, the cure for family turbulence, and then that calming effect that is available in family turbulence. Folks, I don't know about you. I hope and pray that if I ever step out into sin, that I really quickly realize that there is a cure and then step in and enjoy the calming effect that's available to me and the forgiveness of not only my Heavenly Father, but the forgiveness of my family and my church family for whatever mistakes I may have made. But how sad, once again, when Christians just can't seem to forgive the way that they have been forgiven. What about it today, dear friends? Miss Marlene, you want to make your way to the piano? You're facing some family turbulence in your life. Things seem to be topsy-turvy. You realizing the cause and what it is, and maybe some of that you brought upon yourself. But you be willing to step in and receive what God has provided as the cure and the calming effect. Just because we realize the cure, just because we see the repentance and turning to the Lord, it does not mean that all of a sudden everything, peace be still. Sometimes God allows us to continue through the turbulence. But the difference is now I'm going through it with His help and with His guidance, knowing that I'm right with Him, I'm right with my family, I'm right with my church family. I'm right with my neighbors. I'm right with my community. And as I continue on through this turbulence, until the Lord sees fit to see it calm, I'm going to trust Him to help me through it as I do all that I can to honor Him and those around Him. Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Our pianos will begin to play this morning. The Lord has spoken to your heart in some way. My first concern this morning is, do you know that you're saved? I'm not talking about if you came forward and joined the church. I'm not saying that I was scripturally baptized. No, I'm talking that you realize that you were a sinner, you recognize your sin, repented, and turned to Christ for salvation. If you have done that, I praise God with you. But what about you, dear Christians? Are you going through some family turbulence? Sometimes we bring it on ourselves. Yes. Sometimes it's caused by others. And dear friends, I've experienced both of sin that I brought upon myself and things and turbulences come about because of family and extended family. But I can assure you that the Lord has helped us through. The Lord has given Miss Michelle and I grace to go through that turbulence and hopefully come out on the other side better, closer to Him, prepared and ready to help others. Whatever your need is tonight, there's no one looking around. Would you let me pray for you? Maybe just uplifting hand and up and down. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm going through some turbulence. Pray the Lord will help me. Yes. Yes, I see that hand. The Lord will help me. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, many hands across the auditorium. Yes. Lord, preacher, pray for me. Yes, I see that hand that I will go through this turbulence, knowing that I'm right with God, doing all I can to be right with others, and trusting Him to handle that which I cannot handle. Lord, you saw the hands. You know what is represented today. I, Father, that you'd work in the hearts and lives of your people. Father, whether they come here to an old-fashioned altar and thank you for the message, or come and say, Lord, help me through the turbulence, whatever the case may be. Or they come for salvation, Lord, whatever the case may be. Lord, there where they stand or here at the altar, Father, may they respond according to thy sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Our piano.